Psalm 31 is the Psalm of David.
He wrote it.
There's about seven or eight authors of Psalms, you know, Asaph, there's Solomon, Moses even wrote one. There's different authors that wrote the whole book of Psalm. There are 150 Psalms, Psalm 31. And we made a little flyer. It says, where to find comfort in the Psalms. And so I like this. It's just to keep it in your Bible. And I think you can relate to some of these that are on this sheet. For instance, when you're afraid, go to Psalm 23. When your family gets on your nerves, go to Psalm 127. When you're discouraged by the apparent prosperity of the wicked, go to Psalm 37. You get it. You get it. So there's something for everybody on this sheet. So don't leave home without it, as they say. So we want to encourage you today, find your comfort in God's Word, and you'll be glad you did. Look at Psalm 31. It's a psalm of praise in the time of discomfort. Wow! I mean, you go through times in life, and life can bring some big challenges, right? Am I right? I mean, you may be going through a challenge right now as you hear this message. So turn to your neighbor and say, are you going through some challenges? And if you're a Christian, you're gonna find comfort even though you're discouraged when you praise God and thank Him for being who He is, even when you're going through discomfort. Discomfort is a part of life. Did you know that? Some people say, well, once you get saved, everything's just so gravy. All right. But I didn't find that in the Bible. But you know what? You can have peace through the discomforts. And you know what? You're not alone either. Oh, by the way, turn to your neighbor and say, thank you so much for not talking during the sermon. And so I've got a lot of problems in my life, a lot of challenges, problems. It's a lot of hurdles in life, right? But I know that David, a man of God, a man after God's own heart, is having problems too. And just because you're a Christian, if you're one, hopefully you are one, doesn't mean that life's problems are going to go away. So turn to your neighbor and say, we're going to keep persevering. And some of us back away from God or lose sight of God when things get in distress in our life, and that's when we should be what? Pushing forward. Press on to the Lord. Find yourself in the Word of God and let God, through His Holy Word, comfort you. It may not make your problems go away or make you feel right now okay and everything is cool, but it's going to give you peace through the storms of your life. And I have many. Somebody said, well, you don't look like you have any storms in your life. Well, who I am in the Lord doesn't matter about what's going on around me. Some of you have so much on your mind, you can't even concentrate on anything. You got so many problems, and we all have them, but you have troubles concentrating on your relationship with the Lord, so you start sliding back and sliding back and sliding back, and before you know it, you're out of God's Word. And you're wondering, why don't I have peace in my life? Well, the circumstances may not change, but you can have peace through the storm of your life. Turn to your neighbor and say, I got a few storms. And turn to your other neighbor and say, I will endure. Psalm 31, listen to his words now. It's very comforting to me, and I know it will be to you. In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. See? My question is, if you're a Christian, where are you taking refuge? Where do you go for times of comfort? Is it the Lord or something else? Turn to your neighbor and say, it may be something else. But he says, in you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Only the Lord knows your heart, right? And the Lord has seen every tear you've ever shed in the darkness of your life. He has seen every tear that nobody else has seen. He has captured those tears in a bottle. He knows your heart. doesn't he? So turn to your neighbor and say, God knows your heart. So take refuge in the Lord. Take refuge in His Word. And He says, let me never be ashamed in your righteousness. Deliver me. Don't ever be ashamed of being righteous in Jesus. Don't ever be ashamed of being made righteous in your faith in Christ. That's what makes a person righteous. A good person will never get to heaven if he's just claiming to be a good person. I'm a good person. I'm going to get to heaven. Well, how good do you have to be? Jesus was perfect in every way, in word, thought, and deed. Are you better than that? Then if you can get to heaven by being a good person, or even a better person than the other person that you know, then you're saying that Jesus died in vain. So don't die in vain. Put your hand over your heart for a minute. Is it beating? Mine's beating pretty fast. So that's a good thing. But one day it'll stop. So where do you go? You go to heaven or you go to hell? You got to get that right first. Repent of your sins and put your faith for the first time. If you're being convicted by the Holy Spirit, it's because God is drawing you for salvation. Some of you may be doing that under that conviction of sin that only Jesus can take away. And He says, let me never be ashamed in your righteousness. Deliver me. He's got some problems. Turn up to the Lord and say, Lord, deliver me.
Lord, deliver me.
And that could be a lot of different things in your life. I know you think of it for a minute. Okay, I got one. I got a request for it. Lord, deliver me. I want to be set free of my problems, and it will happen one day. And by the way, one day I'll be made perfect when I see the Lord. And I'm 54 years old. And I remember when I was 24 years old, I thought people in their 50s were old, old, old. And now I'm old, old, old. I'm the old guy. Time flies by just like that. So if you haven't been made right with God through Christ, when is the day to do that? Tomorrow? Today is the day of salvation. So I'll never be ashamed in your righteousness. Lord, help me to be righteous, walk a righteous life. I've strayed off the path sometimes. Sometimes I don't do the right thing, but help me stay in your righteousness. Help me live a holy life. I need help, Lord, with that. You know, there's a lot of pressure to live an unholy life if you're a Christian. You know, those friends that hadn't come to the Lord yet? You're doing the same thing you used to do before you came to the Lord, yeah? No, am I lying? If I'm right, say amen. Okay. I thought I was the only one. So temptation is always there. The pull in your flesh is always there to go back to the way it was. Like the Israelites to Egypt, right? They were complaining about the manna, so they wanted to go back to Egypt because at least the food was better than the manna. Right? Always complaining. And then he says, too, he's begging the Lord now, Lord, incline your ear to me. He wants the Lord to hear him, right? You think the Lord is interested in your problems? Absolutely. You know why? God came to earth as man and experienced everything that you've experienced in your life, but to the 100,000th degree. Emotional trauma, not having a place to live. His family deserted him. His friends deserted him. Even God on the cross turned his back on his only begotten son. So the Lord knows how you feel, and every emotion that you've ever felt, God knows about it. Connect with him. Incline your ear to me, he says in verse 2. Rescue me quickly. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need rescuing quickly. He's in trouble. He's in trouble with something. He may be in trouble with his enemies. He may be in trouble with his own mind. He may be in trouble with a lot of different issues in his life. But he's saying, Lord, I'm at the bottom of my rope. Please rescue me. But I like his honesty, don't you? See, sometimes we're not even asking God for this. We ask him for things. Give me more, give me more. You heard that song? Give me more, give me more. Bless me now, bless me now. Well, what about this first? What about seeking the Lord first and asking him to incline his ear? That's saying, God, please hear me. It's important to me. So he says, incline your ear to me. Rescue me quickly to be my rock of strength. Oh, man. How many of you just feel like you're losing strength sometime? You just don't have, you just wore out. Turn to your neighbor and say, I've been worn out sometimes. And that may not just be physically. That may be spiritually worn out, emotionally worn out. You can be worn out in a lot of different ways in life. But he says, be to me my rock of strength. He doesn't want to put his his trust into something else. A stronghold to save me. The Lord knows your heart. He wants the best for his children. So turn to your neighbor and say, God wants the best for you. He's not out there throwing lightning bolts at his children when they mess up or when they go astray. We're all like sheep and have gone astray. Each one has turned to their own way. We all want to go back and eat the grass on the other side of the pasture. And the Lord's, the shepherd is saying, eat over here. And you're going, yeah. And you're looking at that other stuff that's going to make you sick. And he's saying, this is the grass that's green. This is the grass that has nutrients. This is where I'm feeding you. And you're going like, looking at the old stuff. That's what a sheep does. We all have wandered off, and we will still wander off. We're sheep. What are sheep? They're not very bright animals. For you are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you will lead me and guide me. Lead me and guide me. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide his children if you surrender to him and say, Lord, I trust in you. Lead me through this day. Just surrender one day at a time. Is that a good practice? Because I can't bite off more than I can chew, right? Just, Lord, get me through this day. I didn't pray like I should, or I hadn't read the word like I should, but give me the desire again to follow you and live in your righteousness. I need help. Deliver me, O Lord. And you will pull me out. See? You will pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. He has some enemies. They're hiding. They got the net. You got any enemies in life? Oh, really? Am I the only one? I got a few. I got a few that want to hurt me, yeah? Yeah? You got a few that want to hurt you? Just want the worst for you? Mm-hmm. Want to slander your name? Say things that ain't true? Mm-hmm. That's a hurtful thing, too, isn't it? Maybe you got some people that want to hurt you physically, too. David understands this. He says, you will pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. They want to trap him. For you are my strength. See, he goes back to the Lord. He focuses on the problem for just a minute. And then he goes what? Back to the Lord. If you're a Christian, saved by grace in Christ, get it to the Lord. Get it to the Lord. Tell him what you need. Tell him what you want. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have ransomed me, O Lord God of truth. I hate those who regard vain idols. Yeah, don't you? I mean, he had that hatred of unrighteousness. He has the love of righteousness. Yes, you know what? We've all put idols in our life, haven't we?
Yeah.
You don't have to make it out of a calf. You don't have to melt it down with gold. An idol is something you put in your life before God. Before I met the Lord, oh man, it was all about that. It was all about my car and about my stuff. That was my idol. About my friends and having, whatever, all the bling. That was my idol. That's what my God was. And, even as Christians, things in our life can seep in real slowly. And but before you know it, something in your life may be more important than your relationship with God. It will happen. Be careful. So you gotta guard that. I will rejoice and be glad. Turn to your neighbor and say, I will rejoice
and be glad.
And I say, wow, he's going through a lot of problems and he wants to rejoice and be glad? God never changes. Our circumstances, our life, our situation, they change by the minute. But he says, I will rejoice and be glad in your righteousness and your loving kindness because you have seen my affliction. God knows your affliction. He knows what you're going through. Yes, Lord, you see my affliction. You know what I'm going through. And how long is it going to be? Oh, Lord, how long is it going to be? But the Lord sees it. He may not answer prayers immediately, but if you're sheep of his pasture, he loves you so much. Rejoice in him. Try the thanksgiving first. Try the adoration first. Acts. Let's do A-C-T-S. A-C-T-S. That spells Acts. Okay, here's an A. Adoration means go to God, just praise him first. Praise him first. Just say, thank you, Lord, you're God, I worship you. Just for who you are, I praise you. you are worthy of my worship. And then C, is that C? That's the opposite. I'm sorry. Who's a cheerleader? Can do like the C's, P? It's confession. Confess your sins before God. So you got A, C, T is thanksgiving. Thank Him. Even though maybe you don't have a whole lot, maybe you're lacking some things in life, maybe you're looking at it as stuff, but thank Him for saving your soul and giving you eternal life. I'm just this far away from it. Oh, that's going to be a great day. When I hear the Lord say, come on in, my good and faithful servant. I've prepared your house for you in my mansion. Oh, yes. So remember those things. You have to know the troubles of my soul. Like we talked about it. Jesus came to earth as man, fully God, fully human, so He could understand your problems. And then we'll close with this. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. So turn to your neighbor and say, distress only lasts for a short time. Y'all make sure you get to Psalms 31. And then also make sure you get to that sheet. It will help you throughout your day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day. It was kind of a short sermon, but hopefully it was packed with things that we can take with us and use and help us. Help us, Lord. Help us. We're needy. We have lots of issues, but we're going to endure, like the psalm said here in Psalm 31. And Father, if there's anybody listening to my voice, wherever that may be, that has never put their faith in Jesus Christ, I pray that the Word of God did that. The Spirit of God is moving in their hearts. It's not my personality or my energy, but it's the Word being preached into their hearts via the Holy Spirit. Let that be a time that they could come to know the Lord for the first time. And Father, those that already know You, they know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray that this could be something foundational for them to take with them, to grow, to mature, and to endure the troubles we have in our life. So we love You, we praise You, we give You all the glory and all the honor. And all of God's children said,
Amen.
Amen.